Open your Bibles with me to Acts chapter 28, the last chapter in the book of Acts, as today we will finish out the book of Acts. If you need a Bible, just raise your hand. One will be handed to you so you can follow along with us. Again, Acts chapter 28. You know, God is always faithful that whatever I'm teaching on, he makes me experience. And I'm talking this morning about worry. And this morning was a very interesting morning. I mean, I just can't believe that the sun is shining and it's a beautiful day compared to 2 or 3 hours ago when it seemed like it was a total mess. I woke up this morning very early and I mean, the wind was blowing. I don't know if anybody was up around 4 o'clock. The wind was blowing so bad, I thought for sure a tree was gonna fall down. As I was driving over here from my house, there were leaves everywhere. And it's just been a very trying day. Technology was giving us a challenge and just all kinds of crazy things. But here's the wonderful thing. God's always in control, right? He's always in control. And if we would just, and you know, again, that verse that just continues to roll around in my head, cast all of your cares upon the Lord because he cares for you. Boy, if we would just do that more often. Continue to cast those things and those concerns and worries. So that's what we're going to be talking about this morning in the last chapter of the book of Acts. So before we get started, as we always do, would you pray one more time with me? Father, we thank you for the power of prayer. And Lord, maybe for some of us, most of us, we have to apologize for not praying enough, not praying more. I don't think we can ever pray too much. But Lord, help us in our time of need. Help us in the concerns and the things that are going on in this world. Help us, Lord, just to pray to you and seek you. Several people in the fellowship this morning needing your hand of protection. And we lift up those families to you. We lift up that wee baby to you, God. Ford, we lift him up to you right now and pray, God, that you will do only what you can do once again. How faithful you've been to that family, and we're trusting you to be faithful once more. And so we lift them up to you. We also pray for those in our fellowship that are sick this morning. God, we pray healing over them, that you would protect them, protect their families, their loved ones. And in this crazy climate that we're living in, Lord, with COVID and the cases just continuing to go up. And my wife and I were even talking yesterday how it just seems like more and more people closer to us are getting the virus. And so, God, we ask for your protection. We pray that this thing would go away in the name of Jesus. But, Lord, teach us what you're trying to teach us in it. And in my heart, I do believe you're just asking us to trust you even in the midst of this. Lord, it's easy to trust you when everything's going fine. But it's during these times of struggle, during these times of difficulty, that we have to trust you even more. So we thank you for your word in advance. We just pray, God, that you would speak to us. We know that your word always speaks. And so I would also pray that we would listen to what the word has to say and model the Apostle Paul and his commitment and his faith in you. We give you the glory. We give you the praise for what you're going to do here today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Yeah, as we look at this final chapter in Acts, the whole time I was studying this, the one thing that I just saw in the Apostle Paul is his lack of concern. I don't know if any of you know Acts chapter 28, but this is the time where Paul gets bit by a venomous snake, and he kind of just nonchalantly shakes the thing off, like nobody's business. And it's to me, it's just his confidence in God. He's experienced such protection from the Lord. And I believe God even uses this instance to help the people there in Malta come into greater faith in God. And though we may not read specifically of salvations, we certainly see healings. And it seems almost as though Luke has just kind of quickly given us the last action or the last things that are going on in the Apostle Paul's life. Because listen, the book of Acts continues to go on. You know that, right? The book of Acts is you and me. The lives that we're living, the chapters that we're adding to this, because though the title of my book of Acts is the Acts of the Apostles, to me it's the Acts of the Lord Jesus Christ, the works of God. And so all of us are a work that God is doing. And so we just remember that. You know, we know that verse so well. Jesus said it in Matthew chapter 6. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life. How's everybody doing with that? Don't worry about your life. It's different today, isn't it? There has to be concern. And I think that's important for believers, that we are concerned, but we don't worry. What is the worst thing that can happen? We get to be with the Lord. Okay? Nobody wants to get there too quickly. I'm not saying that. But our confidence is in God. And so Jesus says, therefore, I say to you, do not worry. It almost feels like a command to me, doesn't it? He doesn't say, don't worry unless things get really bad. Don't worry unless your finances aren't there. Don't worry unless these things happen. And no, he says, don't worry about your life. If you are here today and you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, your life is no longer your own. It's his. And he says, don't worry about your life. I've got your life. We will get to heaven. Don't worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Has God been a provider in your life? Have you looked into your life and seen God's hand every step of the way? See, maybe you're like me. In the midst of a struggle, I forget about God's faithfulness. I forget about the things that he's done in my past. And it's only once I sense the presence of the Holy Spirit, that conviction, where I go, Lord, you are so good to me. You've been so faithful to me over the years. I can trust in you. I found this quote, and I thought it was very interesting. It says this, worry is a waste of time. It does not change a thing. All it does is steal your joy and keep you busy doing nothing. Again, the days that we're living in, we're all busy doing nothing, some of us, right? You know, we have some friends that are quarantining right now because they've got the virus. They're busy doing nothing but what? Sitting around. You know, some are feeling worse than others, and they're busy doing nothing, but they're not worrying. They're trusting the Lord. And so worry is a waste of time, and that's what I've entitled today's message is, worry is a waste of time. Again, there's nothing wrong with being concerned, but we must not worry because we are a child of God. The Bible says this in Psalm 94:19, in the multitude of my anxieties within me, your comforts delight my soul. So here's David, having turmoil, having struggle, having anxiety in his life. Anybody identifying with that this morning? Some anxiety, some concerns that are going on. Well, David says, your comforts delight my soul. God is there. Do you know that God is there with you? Getting you through? We should. In Philippians, we all know this verse, Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer. God has given us a weapon, and that weapon is prayer. Again, prayer may not necessarily change your circumstances, but it certainly should change your perspective, right? Just this week in one of my devotions, talking with another gentleman or a couple other guys, you know, prayer, we talk about prayer so much that it seems like most of our prayers are one directional. You ever feel like that sometimes? Lord, give me this. Lord, protect them. Lord, help me in this area. When do we stop enough in prayer to listen to God? If you're one of those people that says, I never hear from the Lord, then you're not giving him an opportunity to speak. You're not listening because God's always talking. His word is always speaking. So when we pray, I often say, pray and then stop and listen. It's maybe in that stillness we feel awkward, but maybe that's when God's going to speak. Two ears, one mouth. Listen twice as much as you talk. It's important. To me, prayer destroys worry. When you're truly praying to God, when you're truly seeking in, then you don't have to worry because your confidence is in the Lord, and that's what we experience. We are called as believers to a common purpose of worshiping God, loving God, and serving God. And when we spend that time in prayer, worry goes away. Again, concern might be there, but the worry will go away. As we looked at Acts chapter 27 last week, we saw Paul in a shipwreck. And even in the midst of that shipwreck, Paul's confidence was in God. And that's what I see. I see a man who is so confident in God, a godly man for that perspective, that he's trusting him even in the difficulties. And we talked last week, even in our storms, we can trust the Lord. We can trust the Lord, and hopefully we help each other with that. Hopefully we can encourage each other with trusting in the Lord. Maybe you're in a season where you're feeling strong. You're feeling the presence of God. It's your opportunity to encourage maybe your spouse or a friend or a neighbor. And for those of us that maybe find ourselves in a struggle, we need to seek people that will help us focus in on the Lord. Paul was confident and completely trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pick up in verse 1 of Acts chapter 28. And it says, "Now when they had escaped, they then found out that the island was called Malta. And the natives showed us unusual kindness, for they kindled a fire and made us all welcome because of the rain that was falling and because of the cold." So you got to understand the conditions that they ended up on the island of Malta were not good. And it says in verse 3, "But when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened on his hand. So when the natives saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, 'No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he has escaped the sea, yet justice does not allow him to live.' But he shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. However, they were expecting that he would swell up or suddenly fall down. But after they had looked for a long time and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god." So as we look at this initially, and again, talking about worry being a waste of time, the first thing I want us to think about is that worry causes you to miss opportunities. Worry causes you to miss opportunities. You're so focused on that thing that's causing you anxiety that you're going to miss an opportunity that God would give to you. And even for the Apostle Paul, as he comes on the island, certainly they're thankful to get off that ship, okay? But it was still rainy, it was still cold. Luckily, the natives, the people that were living there, showed them unusual kindness because they were strangers. And when I think about that, I think about the church. I think about Christians. Are we showing others unusual kindness? These weren't believers. And if the world is going to show us kindness, shouldn't we as believers be the ones that are showing people unusual kindness? Shouldn't we be the ones showing others God's grace, his love, forgiveness? See, we're the ones that are supposed to be representing God. And if the world is doing a better job of showing kindness than us, shame on us, right? I mean, we're to be known by our love. We're supposed to be known for forgiving people. And maybe there's people in your life that have wronged you, have done things wicked to you. It still doesn't excuse us from not giving them forgiveness. I've been sharing with you about a gentleman that I've been praying for whose roommate kind of took over his house. I think I told you guys about that, most of you. And he's been kind of a squatter. The man's been living with his mother for probably the last 6 months, almost since the pandemic started. I just found out this week that he's finally back in his house. And he sent me a text, this long text, and just said, "Thank you for showing me the way to forgiveness. Thank you for showing me God. Thank you for leading me on this path of living for the Lord." Because he so appreciates that he got through it. Now, there's a lot of things he's got to deal with now, and he still has some forgiveness because the guy trashed his house. But I love that his perspective is, I need to show this guy forgiveness, not because he deserves it, right? but because God has forgiven us of so much. That's why we forgive. If I'm holding a grudge against you, then God shouldn't be forgiving me. We have to be people of forgiveness, even when it makes no sense. And I've said it a million times, we all say it, you don't forgive someone for them. You forgive them for you. It keeps you out of the bondage of bitterness. And so that's what we must do. And for the Apostle Paul, look at not only did they show them kindness, and we should be also kind, but look at verse 3. But when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, stop right there. This is the Apostle Paul, capital A. And notice his heart. His heart of servitude. Do you know there's 276 people that came off that ship? Many of them were prisoners. Many of them were shipsmen. Paul could have easily have said, you guys take care of it. But Paul had a servant's heart. Again, if Paul was worried, if he was concerned, he wouldn't have a heart to serve. And I love this heart that he has as a heart of service to be a representative. And I believe that this heart of service and the way God heals, you know, protects him from this viper was a huge evidence to the people there on that island. What God does in your life is a powerful testimony to other people. So don't miss that. And to seek having a heart to serve. God had a purpose for putting Paul on the island of Malta, right? I think we talked about that last week. This small little island, and they show up there because God had something for the Apostle Paul to do. And maybe you feel like you're in a small place. Maybe you feel like you're in a place of insignificance, but God has a plan and a purpose. And we're going to see that in a minute. Notice the protection that God gives to Paul. Again, a viper came, and because of the heat, fastened to his hand. I know there's churches and ministries that think handling snakes is okay because we're believers. I wouldn't suggest it. Paul didn't go looking through the wood, you know, through the wood pile looking for a snake. But notice his confidence in God. The Bible doesn't say anything other than he just shook the creature off. It didn't faze the Apostle Paul. Again, he's not worried. His life is in God's hands. And maybe you feel like there's a viper attaching to you, trying to steal your joy, trying to steal life from you. Don't let it. I have a good friend who always says, this person didn't give me my joy, they can't steal my joy. Joy comes from the Lord. Don't let anybody steal your joy in God. One of my all-time favorite verses is, the joy of the Lord is our what? Strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. So if you're feeling weak, you need to focus in on the joy of God. I really appreciated our time of worship this morning as I hear voices singing and being outside and hearing the leaves blowing. And it's like, Lord, we're just here to worship you. We're here to praise your name and to hear from your voice. God has a purpose for you of being here today. Do you know that? What is that purpose? Why has God brought you here this morning? Certainly to hear his word, certainly to hear worship and to participate in worship, but maybe he has a greater purpose in your life. God puts you where he wants you. You know, we think we are in charge of our own lives, but God's in charge of our lives, isn't he? He directs our paths. God shows us in this event that he's in control of everything. And the Apostle Paul witnessed that. He saw it in Caesarea. He saw it on the ship. He's now seeing it in Malta. I mean, Paul just simply walked in pure, undefiled faith. Unhindered faith, I should say. Is our faith that strong? It's so, so powerful. Notice in verse 7. Well, actually, before we talk about that, you know, the natives saw the snake attached to Paul. And it's interesting to me that they're like, oh, see? God's going to get this guy. He must be a murderer. I mean, what's interesting is in those days, there was still this sense of justice. There's still that sense of, hey, you're not going to get away with doing wrong. How many people feel in the world that we're living in, people are getting away with doing wrong? They're not. They might seem like it for a moment. And this is kind of my perspective. To me, it's like if they're not believers and they're living lives, they better enjoy it now because it's not going to get any better for them. See, for us, life gets better, right? When we're in the presence of the Lord. All these things are going to go away. No more pain, no more crying, no more suffering. No more COVID. Praise God. But they thought he was going to die, but we know he doesn't. Verse 7, in that region, and here's to me, this is the purpose. In that region, there was an estate of the leading citizen of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and entertained us courteously for 3 days. And it happened that the father of Publius lay sick of fever and dysentery. Paul went into him and prayed and laid hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, the rest of those on the island who had diseases also came and were healed. They also honored us in many ways, and when we departed, they provided such things as were necessary. To me, this is the central focus of this entire chapter. Paul's servant's heart, right? They witnessed that. The natives witnessed that. And then, to me, the snake that attached to him and didn't kill him, there had to be something special about the Apostle Paul. Because here's the thing. There were snakes all over that island. And they had witnessed people get bit from snakes and die pretty quickly. So for someone not to die, they had to think, obviously they thought he was a god, but they had to think there was something special about the Apostle Paul. I believe that was an open door that God gave to the Apostle Paul to be able to minister and witness to them. Okay, a leading person of the island took notice and showed them kindness. And to me, Publius's father was the reason that God sent Paul to the island of Malta. And I'm sure there's others, but Luke doesn't tell us. I mean, it says everybody that was sick was brought to Paul and was healed. Guys, I want to talk to you a minute about this. We are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have been given the Holy Spirit, who I believe personally continues to give out gifts to his believers. That we too would be people of faith, and that we would pray, that we would lay hands on people, and that we would see people get healed. Not just physically, emotionally, spiritually. You know, James tells us, if any of you is sick, let them come to the elders of the church and be prayed, and the prayer of faith will heal and will forgive sin. I believe this is an area in the church that is not being utilized enough. I believe the Holy Spirit wants to pour out gifts upon us, and that can just be the gift of faith, to believe that God can heal, right? To believe that we could be around someone. I mean, COVID, right? Someone gets sick of COVID. What do you go by yourself? Be quarantined. Do we have the kind of faith to say, no, come to church so we can lay hands on you? Or would everybody else freak out? Someone's here with COVID. See, that's worry. God doesn't want us to operate under fear. He wants us to operate under faith. I don't know, maybe God's telling me we need to have a COVID service. Everybody has COVID, come on in. We're going to pray over you. And just have that kind of faith, because the Apostle Paul, it almost seems nonchalant. Paul's there. They're sitting around the table. They're having great fellowship. Oh, your dad's sick? Let me go pray for him. Is that your kind of faith? That when something happens in your life or to someone you love, that you're like, can I pray for you? Can I lay hands upon you? Can I pray over you? I have a friend that I've been around so much, and every time something goes on, I say, well, let's pray. To the point right now, they text me every time something, could you please pray? Because they, and I've said this to you before, because God loves you more than me. I'm like, God loves you just the same. But to be known as people of prayer, to be known as someone that I can call you, I can text you, and I know you'll be praying. Just this morning, 2 or 3 people text us this morning, please be praying for this situation. Please be praying for us. This is going on. I just feel like in the church today, we have got to exercise our faith. Yes, I've been called to be a pastor of this church, and I should be I should lead in that way, but that doesn't mean it's only my job. God can use you, and God can use you, and God can, he'll use all of us if we are willing to be used. So I want us to think about that this week. Lord, help me be like Paul and to pray and to lay hands and to see you heal, to heal a heart, to heal someone's faith. Again, it doesn't have to be physical. It can be spiritual or emotional. So not only did Paul have a servant's heart, he had a minister's heart. And God has called all Christians to be ministers in the world that we're living in. You don't have to memorize the Bible. You don't have to pray certain prayers. To me, it's just a prayer from the heart, right? That's why Jesus said, come to me like little children. Have you ever heard a little child pray? I'm a mommy, I'm a daddy, I'm a... There, that's it. Okay, do that. But it's amazing to me that believers, when I ask them, hey, would you pray for us? Oh, no, that's your job. You know how you get better at praying? By praying. Yeah. It's not by reading books. It's by exercising that muscle and by praying. Oh, that we would be these kind of people, to lay hands and to pray prayers of faith. That's almost, it is the reason I wanted to remind you of these prayer request cards. That's step number one. Step number one is being able to say, I need prayer. Doesn't mean you're weak. It means you're in need. And we believe in prayer. And we believe in the power of prayer. So why wouldn't that box back there be filled with prayer request cards? Anybody in here not need prayer? Then you need to be up here. We all need prayer. We all need it. We need to see more of this in the church today. Believers having the faith to pray and to lay hands and do the things that the Bible tells us to do. And you might say, well, I haven't been a Christian for very long, or I don't know if I could do it. To me, that's the best. Because if it does happen, guess what? You're not going to take the credit. And God doesn't want us to take the credit. He gets the credit. Right? It says Paul healed them, but we know who really healed them. It was Jesus. It was God. Again, worry causes us to miss opportunities. Had Paul been worrying and had Paul been fretting, he would have missed all of these wonderful opportunities. But the second thing, and we'll move a little quicker as we go here, the second thing is worry keeps you from being thankful. Look at verse 11. And this is kind of Paul or Luke, if you will, just explaining the journey, which is interesting. It says, after 3 months, we sailed in an Alexandrian ship whose figurehead was the twin brothers, which had wintered at the island. And landing at Syracuse, we stayed 3 days. From there, we circled round and reached Rigium. And after 1 day, the south wind blew. And the next day, we came to Putuli, where we found brethren and were invited to stay with them 7 days. And so we went towards Rome. And from there, when the brethren heard about us, they came to meet us as far as Appii Forum and Three Inns. When Paul saw them, he thanked God and took courage. Now, when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard. But Paul was permitted to dwell by himself with the soldier who guarded him. If you can't see the hand of God on the Apostle Paul in this, you're missing it. God's protection, God's guidance, God's favor was upon him. He had the freedom as they're traveling to spend time with his friends. And how important that is in our lives today, spending time with our friends and being thankful to God for the people he's put in your life. I think having a thankful heart is so important, even in difficult times. That's what I love about the apostle. Again, he's a prisoner, right? He's going to Rome for the potential of losing his life, but he's thanking God for where he's at. If you begin to be thankful where God has you, you will find contentment in your heart. We need to be people that are more thankful than we are complaining. Listen, I'm done with the virus. I'm over it. I'd like it to go away. But God's seen fit to allow it to continue. Are we continuing to be thankful in this time? Thankful for the opportunities that God has given to us. My wife and I, we usually travel during the holidays at the end of the year. I told her last night, I am looking forward to just staying home and enjoying quiet time, downtime, rest. This is not a year to be necessarily traveling, though I'm not afraid to do that, but to be thankful, right? This is our church verse, 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 through 18. Always been love these verses. It says, rejoice always, which basically means to rejoice always. That's the true meaning. Pray without ceasing. That means be a person of prayer. Pray and pray and pray. Be someone known. Hey, something going on? Let's pray. But notice verse 18. I've always loved this. In everything, give thanks. I always like to point out, it doesn't say for everything, give thanks. We aren't thankful for the virus, but we're going to be thankful in the virus, in this season, because God is with us. Because God is in control. We've been talking about that this whole time. God is in control. And when we know God's in control, we don't worry. Worry keeps us from opportunities. Worry keeps us from being thankful. It's hard to be thankful when you're worrying about something. And I think I said it last week or the week before. It's good to be thankful before God gives you the answers than to wait till after. Thank him before. As if it's already happened. Paul, also, Luke and Paul, recount the journey. How many of us, when we go on vacation, tell everybody about all the places we stayed or all the meals that we had or all the good times that we'd done, but we never talked about the journey? My wife hates to drive in a car more than, what, 30 minutes? If that, that's probably a stretch. You too, yeah. So when I say, hey, let's drive down to Florida, not going to happen. Such wonderful time, just two of us in the car talking and fellowshipping. Negative. No, not going to happen. But when I hear about some, because I don't experience it, but when I hear about people on road trips, I'm like, enjoy good fellowship. Because I covet the covet. But enjoy the journey. I mean, we so focus on the destination that we forget how God gets us there. You know, the opportunities that God may give us along the way. Listen, I'm a guy. I want to get in the car and I want to get to the destination as quickly as possible. There's no stopping. There's no breaks. There's no sightseeing. We've got somewhere we've got to be. I need to be able to tell my friends I did it in record time. All those missed opportunities. You know, I hear about people that are retired and they're just driving around. My dad's retired. He drives around in his RV. He barely stays with me for 2 days on his journeys, which drives my wife and I crazy. But I just can't imagine him enjoying his travels, seeing the country. I'm happy for him and to really experience the journey that God gives us. To be thankful for that journey. Now, Paul is thankful for the people that he encounters. Notice along the way, there's brethren. Again, we're going from Malta now to Rome, and he's finding believers along the way. It is those believers that sharpen us, that encourage us, that strengthen us. And Paul was thankful for those believers. I believe they were powerful prayer meetings. I believe the Apostle Paul was sharing about all the things that happened to him. You're not going to believe this. I was bit by a snake. Didn't bother me. Wouldn't that be wonderful? But being thankful, being a person of thankfulness, can you thank God today for at least one thing? I think you can. If nothing else, salvation. If nothing else, thankful that our eyes and our hearts have been opened to the truth of who God is. The last and final thing, verse 17. And it came to pass after 3 days that Paul called the leaders of the Jews together. So Paul's in Rome, just as God said he would be. And one of the first things Paul does is call, notice, the leaders of the Jews together, because it was the Jews that was accusing Paul, right, of speaking against the temple and speaking against those things, and so he's bringing them together. So when they had come together, he said to them, "Men and brethren, though I have done nothing against our people or the customs of our fathers, yet I was delivered as a prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans, who, when they had examined me, wanted to let me go, because there was no cause for putting me to death. But when the Jews spoke against it," these are the Jews in Jerusalem, "I was compelled to appeal to Caesar, not that I had anything which to accuse my nation. For this reason, therefore, I've called for you to see you and speak with you, because for the hope of Israel, I am bound with these chains." Then they said to him, "We neither received letters from Judea concerning you, nor have any of the brethren who came reported or spoken any evil of you." So there's nothing that he's there for to be accused by. Verse 22, look at this. "But we desire to hear from you what you think. For concerning this sect," which is the Christians, "we know that it is spoken against everywhere. So when they had appointed him a day, many came to him at his lodging, to whom he explained and solemnly testified of the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus from both the law of Moses and the prophets, from morning till evening. And some were persuaded by the things which were spoken, and some disbelieved. So when they did not agree among themselves, they departed after Paul said one word. The Holy Spirit spoke rightly through Isaiah the prophet to our fathers, saying," so here's Paul quoting the Old Testament, "Go to this people and say, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. Therefore, let it be known to you that the salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will hear it." And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had a great dispute among themselves. The Jews did not like Gentiles, clearly. Because even here, as the Apostle Paul is sharing why he's in Rome with the Jewish leaders, and they say, "We haven't heard a thing about you. We haven't heard anything negative about you." Now, I believe the Jews knew the Apostle Paul, right? He was one of the great leaders. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees, he called himself. So they appreciated the Apostle Paul, and they wanted to hear his perspective. What an amazing opportunity for the Apostle Paul to be in front of the leaders of the Jews in Rome and to want to hear from him and hear his perspective. Guys, there's a world out there that is longing to hear the truth of why we believe in the Bible, why we believe in Jesus, why we believe there's greater days ahead. And we need to be ready with an answer. And here's the thing I love, because the last and third thing is worry takes your focus off of Jesus, right? Worry takes your focus off of Jesus. If Paul was worrying, he wouldn't be able to share about Jesus Christ. And his, as you look in verses, where it's again, in verse 23 and on, I mean, he's obviously teaching the word, but in verse 23, he's talking about the kingdom of God. He's talking about the life of Jesus. He's not sharing about himself. He's not drawing attention to himself. It's all about bringing attention to the Lord. You know, some people say, well, in Acts chapter 28, when Paul was in Malta and when he's not preaching the gospel. Really? A man of prayer laying hands on him and healing people isn't preaching the gospel? His life preached the gospel. And our lives should preach the truth of who Jesus is. It helps us not to worry when we know who our Savior is and when we know where our Savior is. Where is Jesus right now? In heaven, seated at the right hand of God, looking down on earth, looking down at his church and saying, trust me, I've got this. I'll get you through this. We all know the Bible. It's coming to an end at some point. Are we ready for the end? Let's not worry. Let's take every opportunity that we can, just like the Apostle Paul did. No matter where he was, chained or not, he's teaching the kingdom of God and he's sharing about Jesus. If you and I are going to have a conversation, I sure do pray at some point, quickly, it's going to get about the Lord, about talking about God, because that's what we need. That's where our strength comes from. We are victorious already in Christ, aren't we? Last verse, Ephesians 6 and 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. We aren't fighting against any political group. We're fighting against spiritual battles. Men and women's souls are at stake in the days that we're living in. Let us not muck it all up with politics. Let us not muck it all up with countries or where we live or what our background is. Let's talk about the Lord Jesus, because that's what's going to keep people from worrying. That's what's going to keep people from worrying. You know, am I going to get the virus? Listen, I've said it from the beginning, and I'm not even kidding about it. I just want to get it so I'm over with it. It's like, here's my take on it. There's a whole lot of people that are surviving COVID than there are people that are dying from it. And I understand people have lost their lives. But let me tell you what. People lose their lives of cancer. People lose their lives over the flu. It's part of life. Be wise. Be smart. And I've said this. Look, this church, we don't require masks. We don't require social. But if all of a sudden people started getting sick, we're going to change our ways. We're going to be smart about it. But let's have trust in God and not worry, and live in these days as people that are ready to give an answer for the hope that we have in Christ. That's what people need. That's what you need, and that's what I need. So let's encourage each other. Amen? Amen. Amen. Father God, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for the book of Acts, God, and how it shows us the power of the church, how we see Peter, James, John, Paul, being used by you, Lord, being powered by the Holy Spirit. God, we pray not for the gifts to bring glory to us, but we pray for the power of the Holy Spirit flowing through us for your glory, for your honor. God, I would pray that today, if there's someone here that's not feeling well, someone here that's sick, someone here that's dealing with something in their lives, when we have this opportunity this morning to pray for them, to lay hands upon them, and to put their cares and their concerns in your hands, God. Or maybe they just want to write it down on a prayer card so that we can be praying. Lord, let us be known as a people of prayer, just like the Apostle Paul was. And let us not be ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of salvation. It is the hope of heaven. And because of what you've done, Lord, heaven is secured for us. Not about what we do. But Lord, we pray that we would be faithful to the very end. Till that day you bring us home. Continue to bless us. Bless those who are here. Bless those who have been encouraged here this morning. Bless our fellowship, Lord, now. In Jesus' name, amen.